Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode, we're going to talk about kind of PR 101 for startups.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And this has been a topic suggestion that's been on our list forever. So, you know, we've never gotten around to talking about this. So I'm excited to actually chat about it because just as you noted a second ago, Heaton, before we started recording, I have no idea how much and how you think about PR, what you've done in the past. Kind of what's your take on this? I can share some of my experience. And we did quite a lot of PR with some of the previous companies, not as much with CloseIO. So yeah, I'd love to just chit-chat and kind of share ideas and thoughts, especially kind of PR in the early days. So for people that are just starting out and never gotten any kind of press mention. Yeah, what are your thoughts? What are your experience? Are you guys doing this heavily today? Have you been using PR as a kind of growth and marketing strategy very successful in the past? Let's just go back and forth on this.
Yeah, sounds good. We rarely use PR, my companies. One, there are software companies, and we were generally able to get to our customers directly. And the PR, I've helped countless people with PR around, like, you know, businesses that actually needed it. So I would first challenge a startup and say, why do you need PR? And that would be the question I'd come out of the gate with. Just because, again, we didn't really need it at my companies. We were able to directly get to our customers, and we weren't looking to influence, you know, a mass of consumers or anything like that. So to me, the reasons you'd want PR are because you're trying to get customers from it, or you're trying to influence a mass base of consumers, or even partners. So usually PR is a lot about influence, and in some ways even making your company seem bigger than it is.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I love that. I love the road you're going down in terms of, like, what are even the reasons to want PR, right? And the best reason by far is the one that you mentioned, which is kind of in two steps. One, getting more customers, gaining direct access to an audience that could buy your product or service. That's probably the best reason. And then, you know, another reason that can be good is just to influence or to get connected to an audience that might bring you more customers or something else that's of monetary value down the line. So business partnerships, influencers, people that do have direct access to your audience that read a certain or are influenced by a certain publication that if they read about you, they might tweet about you or write about you, and that then gets you directly in front of your customers. Acquirers, just in general, like gaining access to an audience that is interesting, could benefit your business, that's probably the best reason to want to do PR. The other one that you mentioned in there is kind of the appearing bigger than you are, which I would, I mean, that can be a big thing, right? If you are mentioned in many press outlets, such as that you can appear bigger than you are, it can create the illusion of hotness. Like, oh, this company seems to be written about everywhere. Hence, it's probably very successful. It's probably taking off. It's probably super attractive. So you can create that kind of the illusion of hotness and that, like, getting a buzz around your business independently from what your real numbers and your real company traction looks like in reality.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen this done. I've also seen it done I'll add another one because this traction thing's really interesting. You know, with PR, PR can really make people feel like you're everywhere and you're much larger than life if you're able to do it really well. One of the things related to that is if you're trying to influence a partner or a set of partners, PR can help a lot as well. Like, you know, every time one of my companies was up on TechCrunch or even like a company I've advised or invested in, they mentioned my name in there, I always would get a bunch of emails or messages saying, oh, that's cool, you invested in so-and-so, or that's cool, you guys launched blah, blah, blah. So, it really does help to spread the word, you know, when you're in those publications that many people read, whether it's online or offline ones. The biggest thing, though, is that it doesn't always lead to customers. Most of the time, it actually doesn't, unless it's highly targeted. And even then, just like everything else you and I would suggest, you would want to learn, you would want to run experiments against it. For example, let's say, you know, you thought you were like a food service company, like a food delivery service, and you know, think that your audience is sitting on some of the food sites or food magazines, and you would start figuring out, how do we get stories up there? How do we essentially do PR? The thing is, you could spend tens of thousands of dollars and get no results. So you wouldn't want to do that. So the key would be, how do you figure out ways to experiment with that really lightly, with less resources, less time, and less money? And that would be what I would suggest, even if you did think you can get your customers from there. Now, going back to the sort of partner angle, because a lot of the larger companies, a lot of these folks are reading some of these sort of, whether it's the TechCrunches of the world or like Fortune magazine or a lot of these things, it could be wise to like consider it as part of a strategy to, you know, seem, you know, just to get yourself out there so that partners can see you. The one classic example that comes to mind for me would be like, if you have a much larger partner than yourself, let's say you're working on an Android app and there's Google out there and, you know, you haven't been able to get in touch with them, or you want just bigger, more attention, getting some PR can really help you when you start having conversations with them, because the one simple reason, the people that work there already in their heads might already be like, oh, I've heard of you. And that can really be a great like opener to the conversation, you know, if they've heard of you already, regardless of how it was.
Absolutely. The other way to, I guess, use PR strategically is like you're not using it to just get a customer directly. You're using it indirectly to influence certain audience is when you raise money, right? I know that a lot of people that listen to our podcast are self-funded and are interested in growing the business, not necessarily just with you know, investor money. But when you do want to raise money, it can be, you know, a highly strategic tool to make sure that you plan an extended time and different levels of kind of news to break and stories to have. And then while you're raising money, you make it, quote unquote, rain good news, so that as you're reaching out to these investors and as these people take a look at you, they start seeing you in all these different outlets and there's all these news that break about you making a great new hire, launching a new product or feature, hitting a certain milestone. And then again, as we said earlier, that can create that illusion of hotness of like, there's a buzz around your company, I see it everywhere. And that can make a big difference in gaining traction and momentum or creating urgency for investors to want to move faster. So it can be a strategic tool in the fundraising side of things as well, if you execute it properly and correctly. Now, the one thing I think that a lot of people think about PR is kind of the more fuzzy thing that people think about when they, or founders think about when they think about PR, the more fuzzy or not so great reasons to want it is, quote unquote, branding, which really just means like, wouldn't it be awesome if Forbes, you know, wrote about our business? You know, and we all are humans and sometimes we want things for irrational reasons. And I find that a lot of founders want PR for that irrational reason, for that. I've always been reading TechCrunch. I want my company to be written about there because that's going to feel really fucking awesome. But not really thinking through, does that do anything? How can we make it do something for our business and really move the needle? And I guess since you're challenging founders on, do they really need PR, that's something you encounter as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we should make it clear that PR is not branding, or PR alone is not branding.
Yep.
It's definitely not. And I wouldn't want people to think that we would think that, because it's not. I mean, branding is a lot of different things. It's definitely not just PR, and PR is probably the most expensive and you know, probably most expensive way to get branding. Now, that being said, how do you do PR if you decide that it's right for you?
Well, so for those people that are listening that are interested in how do I build a brand and how do I think about brand building more holistically, listen to episode 34. Episode 34, we talk about how to build a brand. Now, in terms of how do I do PR, I want to jump to that just in a second. I was waiting for us to get there, but I wanted to throw out one thing before I forget it that's tactical, which is that a lot of times we've learned as marketers to think that if we can put press logos on our site